This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Lauren DiCretico from Salem State University, adjunct professor, sports psychology consultant. And Lauren, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right. So we're going to find out what it is that you do. And not that that's all that tricky, but first of all, sports psychology. So, you know, I'm guessing that we have a lot of coaches listening to this. We have high school athletes and others that that listen to our podcast. But so how does sports psychology play into, let's say, a high school athlete and then becoming a college athlete?
That's a good question. So as you think about sports or you ask people, I tend to start off with asking them, you know, how many mental mistakes have you made, or what percentage of the game do you think is mental? And usually people give me a range between 30 to 80%. Occasionally I get 100%, to which I laugh and say, well, if it was 100%, then every sports psychologist would be an Olympic athlete. But it's a component, right? And so the way that it plays in is just really it's the athletes that are mentally tough that can overcome adversity and can overcome injuries and things like that stronger that make it into the next level and can compete and level their game up. So that's how it really ties in.
I think that there's probably an element, if you think of a freshman, whether it be in high school or college, and that freshman moves from sophomore to junior to senior, they're probably making less mistakes by the senior year. They're probably playing a better game. Let me just use basketball for an example. But yet, on the other hand, how can sports psychology enhance that that evaluation, if you will, of an athlete?
Yeah, as they transition into being more skilled, oftentimes the pressure increases, whether it's from themselves or outside sources that they think. And so it's once you're not making as many mistakes, when you do make a mistake, sometimes you focus on it a little bit more, or you have this perfectionist tendencies. And so we work through basically how to decrease anxiety or any negative thoughts that are coming into play when you're out on the court or you're out on the field. And that goes for practice and games. Sometimes the way that they are in games isn't the same as they are in practice. And in practice, maybe they get too down on themselves. So it's really figuring out what are their unique mental challenges and how do we level them up? Because everyone's a little bit different. We might use similar strategies, but for them, it's about something different or whatever their next pressure is. You know, it may be coming from parents or going to college or whatever that may be, but it's really just thinking about pressure. It's thinking about how can I play more relaxed? How can I have more fun as I play instead of all that pressure?
I'm going to probably circle around and come back to that a bit. Actually, let me digress here. So there's probably the most famous athlete, I think, in the last 2 weeks is Caitlin Clark, the women's basketball player at Iowa. Most watched college basketball game in history last week when they played LSU in the Elite Eight, if you will. So when you look at an athlete like that, what do you see?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, here's an athlete that just has it, appears to have it all together. But I'm guessing that she, too, probably has had some consulting with a sports psychologist.
You know, I can't speak to it. I definitely would have to get to know her a little bit more. But yeah. I would say any athlete you see out there has had moments where they're not their strongest mentally, right? So it's, to get to that point, you're going to have peaks and valleys. And so an athlete like that, maybe they naturally have some mental strength. Some people, it's a lot of, they built resilience along the way, but everyone can level up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So an athlete like that maybe has some naturally, and it's just focusing on those little tidbits, or even you're talking about the most watched. So maybe before that she was mentally strong, but all of a sudden this pressure of everybody watching her comes into play and she's suddenly being talked about everywhere, and that can turn into pressure. So it's helping them drown out the noise, you know, of the crowd and the media and anything else that people may be saying, and just focusing and really getting their attention focused on the performance and the play at hand.
All right, I'm going to bounce around a bit with you here. So you were an athlete at Salem State yourself a number of years ago, field hockey, softball. How did you get interested in this aspect, sports psychology?
Exactly what you're hinting at, which is that maybe I needed one. It's both performance and also just like the mental health side as well. So I had my own mental health struggles and had my own personal challenges and adversities that, you know, is why I ended up at Salem State as a two sport athlete. And there, you know, I was able to thrive and sort of, you know, excel, but it doesn't mean I didn't still struggle mentally with whether it was just dealing with my own personal pressures, right? I was also a perfectionist when it came to, school all of a sudden. And so, you know, the balancing act of all of that and training and trying to balance all that. So part of it was that I had this need for it, and I wasn't really resonating with any mental health therapist that I was finding, just because they didn't understand that athlete mindset. And then also just there were some parts of me that were mentally strong. I was a pitcher, and to be a pitcher at that level, you have to be mentally tough. But then at the plate, I was a little bit more insecure and lacked confidence. And so I was really fascinated by that. How can I be one way in one area and one in another within even the same sport? So that, coupled with my interest in just psychology and human behavior and wanting to work with, I realized I wanted to work with people who were pretty much well, but just were more like me, needed to kind of tone down those perfectionist tendencies, and they needed to just really get a little bit more performance enhancement rather than focusing on sort of the mental illness.
So then tell me the kind of educational background or the courses that you've taken to get to this point.
Yeah, so my background, my bachelor's is in psychology, and I had a minor in coaching, like under the sports movement science department. And then I went on to get my master's in counseling, which was in with an emphasis in sport and performance psychology. So I have counseling theories. I have, anything to do with really how you, learned about. I'm not qualified to diagnose, but we did diagnosing, we did all of that stuff. We kind of covered all that at a surface level, but then we also covered a lot on exercise science and motor patterns and, kinesiology type stuff too. So you kind of understand that holistic approach to an athlete and that they have so many different components going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost kind of like a doctor who might deal with sports injuries. If that doctor is a former athlete, somehow you get a feeling there's a little more, insight into these kinds of things. I'm probably wrong on that, but you just get that feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's relatability. And, after my grad school, I went and worked with the military doing performance psych. And one of the things that we realized there was when it came to mental health, those people like PTSD and all that, they wanted to work with someone who had also been through it, right? They didn't care about your education. Not for what we were doing with the performance enhancement. They were like, you guys are the subject matter experts, happy to talk to you about it. And they did understand that athlete mindset. But when it comes to anything, when you're going to get help for something, it's always a little bit easier, especially something like sports psychology, which is still a negative stigma, to have someone who gets it. It's just a little bit more enticing and you feel a little bit more calm and comfortable with them.
All right. So tell our listeners what your role is at the college, at Salem State.
So I am an adjunct professor. So I teach sports psychology, some other psych courses, a couple other odds and ends classes. And then I am the sports psychology consultant. So I also work with the athletes underneath the sports medicine department. So I talk to the athletic trainers quite a bit, and we're kind of talking about different athletes that might be injured, et cetera. And I just work with them doing either team group sessions. So a coach can request or a captain can request. We do a team session. And then I do one-on-one. So it's kind of like a blend of counseling and coaching is what it feels like. And I work with the athletes one-on-one to just overcome their different challenges.
Can you give me an example of maybe some typical challenges that you might deal with that can kind of have a payoff once that consulting takes place?
Yeah, so, one-on-one athletes will come in a lot to deal with when they're, overcoming little mistakes. And even though they're at the college level, they're going to make mistakes. And so it's learning how to be comfortable and overcome that faster so they don't dwell on it. A lot of them will get in their own head about that. Sometimes it's dealing with the fact that they're a practice player and that's all they're going to be right now. So how do I stay motivated and stay driven and stay being a good team player despite not getting an opportunity to play that much? And how do I make it so when I do get that opportunity to play, I feel confident rather than, doubting myself because I haven't been playing as much. So those are kind of some common ones. Leadership challenges, as a captain or dealing with difficult teammates, right? Then there's also just life itself, right? They come in with that stuff and it's affecting their play. And it's like, okay, let's talk about some strategies so that you can leave that off the field and, pick it back up when the practice is over.
Tell me about the team conferencing, if you will, what a coach might request or, seek out from you as far as the team or team concepts might be concerned.
What they seek out is often not what I deliver. So I'll ask a lot more questions, probe, and try to figure out what's the root of the problem. And then I kind of create something for them. But oftentimes they come in, sometimes, they're ahead of it and they're like, hey, we're doing well. I just want to, if you can level them up at all, would happy to do that. And sometimes it's more team cohesion stuff. Something's off or they're kind of, maybe there's a group of people being really negative. I think negativity is huge right now, especially with them being so self focused and being focused on, like, you know, when they make a mistake. So that will sort of carry throughout the team. If, you know, one person hangs their head, everybody else does. So sometimes it's that stuff, and sometimes it's usually the biggest problem that people are presenting, are like, hey, they just lack confidence. So then I'll do some sort of session teaching them about how to build it and where it comes from, and kind of demonstrating that they can build it on their own despite any outside circumstances.
Let me just throw this term out at you. Everybody's heard it, but how would you put it into some context? When you hear the term team chemistry, we hear coaches and players say, oh, we have great team chemistry, blah, 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 or we don't, or we didn't a year ago, but now we do. So what? How would you explain that?
Explain, like, what?
Team, the you're thinking of team chemistry as part of a sports psychologist.
I guess, is the question about how would I build it, or just what is it? What does it look like?
How would you build it, or maybe put that in? In other words, that comes under your umbrella, if you will, team chemistry, I suppose, in some way.
I can help facilitate it. Like, you got to think about anything with a consultant is I can easily pinpoint, usually from an outside perspective, maybe why there isn't team chemistry. And quite frankly, it usually starts at the top, right, with leadership. Kind of when you think about business or corporate, if the team doesn't have chemistry, it's usually a leadership thing. Sorry, I just got a call. One second.
No, no problem. We are talking with Lauren DiCretico from Salem State University here on MSONewsSports.com.
Sorry about that.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
So it will fall under my umbrella to help facilitate and figure out why it's lacking or why they have such good team chemistry, and then I will facilitate with strategies or give them tips or kind of give my perspective to the coaches or the players as to what they can do to bring it up. You know, it does definitely fall under team building. I think a lot of team chemistry really happens, like, off the field, and it's about how much they trust each other, how much they get along, and do they see the bigger mission, and are they really focused on the big team goal and purpose versus self-focused? And I think that's when you're going to get the best team chemistry, as well as trust within the team and within the coaches.
No, that all makes a lot of sense. Tell me about careers in sports psychology. Where are the careers, and what do they look like?
You know, there isn't a really clear answer to that, to be honest with you. There's the field itself is divided between, you could go more counseling and be like a licensed therapist or psychologist, but then there's also the, like, coaching exercise physiology side that's more focused on being a coach role. And so it's really kind of pave your own way. There are some defined roles, such as a few universities might have like a counseling division that is focused on athletes. But otherwise, you really are paving your own way. Professional sports have come a long way. They all employ, you know, a few sports psychologists, especially baseball, whether it's a consultant, a coach, a mental skills consultant. But it's definitely slowly coming into professional sports and college sports. Otherwise, it's a lot of running your own business and finding, based on your network, which it's a lot of former athletes. So, you know, my network in the Massachusetts area is relatively big. That's how I ended up at Salem State. So it's really about paving your own way and finding the right opportunities. And then to some degree, you might end up with just like a counseling focus, and then you might get like 50% athletes versus being your whole caseload as athletes.
Right. You know, and I don't think there's any, people would not be surprised if they knew that the colleges had a tutoring element to their athletes. You know, I'm talking at the D1 level, to help them and assist them as they, you know, they travel and they're away from the classroom for games and so on. But they also often have, sports psychologists, that might be contracted with a team or a particular team or here and there. And that's pretty common, I think, right, at the D1 level? I mean, at the very competitive D1 level.
Yeah, so at the D1 level, if their university doesn't have someone that's full-time, which a lot of them don't, or have a contractor like myself that maybe is sort of available to the whole organization, sometimes teams will use their own funding or their own, whether it's fundraising or money that they get, and they'll hire someone that they know and trust. And that's how some universities have a few different people based on the team that hires them and their network. And I've worked with a few different universities in that capacity, and even some that have a sports psychology consultant that maybe they're like, hey, they're not really driving with my team. And so they, you know, hire someone through their own fundraising.
Got it. All right. Well, some great information. Lauren, anything else that you would like to share with us that maybe I didn't ask you about that you think is important that, you've come across in your time at Salem State?
Not so much of my time at Salem State. I would just say overall as like student athletes, you know, whether you're in high school or college and you're trying to get to that next level or you're a parent of an athlete trying to get to that next level, like the biggest theme I'm seeing is like, just like if you are having a problem with, you know, if you're not strong, you're going to go see a strength coach. If you're not good at dribbling, you're going to go work on that, right? There's ways to work on those skills, and mental skills are the same. And so going to find a coach who specializes in that or a sports psych consultant, someone who knows and is an expert in that can help facilitate that. And then the goal being, just like those other coaches, that they can develop those skills on their own after that. So just don't be afraid to go reach out and try to find someone in your area or, I mean, now with telemed, right? There's people everywhere. I do a lot of Zoom sessions. So, you know, just don't let that be the thing that holds you back just because you don't know about it. Like, there are plenty of people that come in. It's not just for people who are mentally ill or mentally unwell. It's for normal, high-functioning people who just want to level up.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you look at sports trainings over the last decade or so, two decades, it's a lot different than it was 20 years ago, for sure, for athletes to train and the equipment that they use and the way they work out. But I also think there's a lot of unknown about what they might need or psychologically, or is that sound about right to you? The fact is the field somewhat is pretty much unknown in many ways for a regular athlete.
Yeah, the way that we describe it is we're like my generation is third generation of sports psych, meaning the first ones were, you know, barely scratching the surface, kind of looked like they were crazy. Nobody was listening to them, but they'd get those few people in the door and help them. And that's what started it. And then, you know, now we're on to level three, and it's just like strength conditioning in that 20 years ago, like you said, no college universities had strength conditioning coaches, or a few did. Now it's crazy if a school doesn't have it. And I think that's the way that sports psych is going, is over time we are going to see it's like, man, you don't have one, like, we can't even look at you as a university because that's just such a non-negotiable at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of high schools now have sports and conditioning staff, you know, with more hours than they might have had or ever had before in a lot of schools. So it's really a great thing, I think, sure. Well, Lauren, I really appreciate you taking some time to join us, share some stuff with us, and thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's fun, and hopefully it can be helpful. And if people are looking for me, they can find me. I'm on Instagram at Lauren Psychology, and shoot me a message, ask more questions. Happy to help.
All right. So, and where is there any other information that we should share with the folks to get in touch with you?
Pretty much start there. That's the best one. You can find my email there. You can find anything else that you'd need to contact me there. But I'm mostly, you know, on that social media platform, putting out info as much as possible.
You got it. All right. Lauren DeCretico with us from Salem State University here on MSO NewSports.com.